Let's read together Amos chapter 3. Now in this chapter, we have the first of the three sermons of judgment that Amos delivered to the northern kingdom of Israel. Let's begin our study of this chapter by reading the first six verses. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Let's begin our study of Amos 3 now with some background notes. Amos prophesied in the mid-8th century B.C., around 760 B.C. A brief thumbnail sketch of Israel's history up to this point would be as follows. After the Exodus and the conquest of the land of Canaan, there was the period of the judges, which lasted about 350 years. Then came the United Kingdom of Israel under the kings Saul, David, and Solomon. This began in 1051 BC and lasted for 120 years. This is easy to remember because Saul, David, and Solomon all had reigns of 40 years each. Then in 931 BC, the United Kingdom of Israel split into the Northern Kingdom of Israel and the Southern Kingdom of Judah. Each of these kingdoms had their own set of kings, 19 kings in the north, 20 kings in the south. Amos prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam II, the 13th king of the Northern Kingdom of Israel, and during the reign of Uzziah, the 10th king of the Kingdom of Judah. Look again at the first verse of the book. The words of Amos, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Amos lived in the southern kingdom of Judah, and he was a sheep herder or sheep breeder, not just a shepherd. He was more like a cattle rancher, only with herds of sheep. But God called Amos out of secular employment to be like a foreign missionary to the northern kingdom of Israel. At this time, the northern kingdom of Israel was doing quite well militarily and materially. They had regained some of their territory and they were quite prosperous, but they were morally and spiritually corrupt and they were characterized by social injustice. Now, there are a lot of parallels between the northern kingdom of Israel in that day and our own nation today. Amos spoke out against these sins, and we need to do the same. In 8 prophecies, 3 sermons, and 6 visions, Amos pronounced judgment on the kingdom of Israel for turning away from the ways of the Lord. Here in chapter 3, we have the first of the 3 sermons of judgment by Amos. So now let's move to our doctrinal points to see what God is teaching us from this chapter in his word. So doctrinal point number 1. God's judgment is not without reason. God's judgment is not without reason. This point is very clear in the first 6 verses that we've read. God had shown favor to Israel. He had brought them out of Egypt, verse 1, and chosen them above all the other peoples on earth, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Notice what God does not say. He does not say, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will overlook your failures and sins. No, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. This is a biblical principle. Privilege increases responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Luke 12:48. Punishment is commensurate with privilege, and judgment begins with the household of God. 1 Peter 4:17. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Hebrews 12:6. These are biblical principles, and taught right here in Amos chapter 3. God's judgment is not without reason. Now in verses 3 through 6, we have a series of seven questions designed to show this point, that God's judgment is not without reason. For every effect, there is a cause. Things don't just happen by accident or chance. Whether it be people in agreement, verse 3, or lions roaring and growling, verse 4, or birds falling into traps, verse 5, or warning trumpets being blown, verse 6, there's a reason for these things. The point is that just as there is cause and effect in the natural world, so there is in God's dealing with people. God's judgment is not without reason. Notice also that the particular examples that Amos chooses here in these verses seem to illustrate the progressive falling away of Israel. From disagreement, verse 3, to the calamity that the Lord must bring on them in verse 6. Calamity, or natural disaster, by the way, is the right translation of that word in verse 6. If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Some translations have evil, which is misleading. God is never the cause of moral evil. Calamity, or disaster, was coming upon Israel for their sins. God's judgment is not without reason. Doctrinal point number 2. God's judgment is not without warning. God's judgment is not without warning. Let's read verses 7 through 11. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Proclaim in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria. See great tumults in her midst and the oppressed within her. For they do not know to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered. No one can say that God doesn't send a warning before he sends judgment. Notice that in verse 7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. God always sends a warning through his prophets before he acts in judgment. Think of Noah warning of the flood to come. Think of Joseph warning of the famine to come. Think of Elijah warning Ahab that his dynasty would fall. And Amos is here warning Israel that judgment is about to fall. As a roaring lion, the Lord is speaking in no uncertain terms. Again, verse 8, a lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. In verses 9 and 10, the surrounding nations are invited to assemble on the mountains surrounding Samaria. Samaria, remember, was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. They are invited to assemble on the mountains surrounding Samaria and see the social sins of Israel. Israel had forgotten how to do right. You know, it's a sad day when even the world condemns God's people for wrongdoing. And you can be sure the media will make the most of it. The judgment of verse 11 would surely come upon Israel. About 40 years after Amos preached this sermon, the Assyrian Empire conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. I'm reading 2 Kings 17, verses 5 and 6. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria. Samaria fell in 722 BC, but not without warning. God's judgment is not without warning. Doctrinal point number 3. God's judgment is not without mercy. God's judgment is not without mercy. Let's read verses 12 through 15. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria. In the corner of a bed and on the edge of a couch, hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts. that in the day I punish Israel for their transgressions, I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord. Now you're probably saying at this point, where's the mercy in this passage? After all, Dave, you said the doctrinal point was God's judgment is not without mercy. Well, it's true, it doesn't seem like any mercy in this prediction of the destruction of Samaria. You know, you can visit the ruins of ancient Samaria today and see proof of this destruction, including some of the foundations of the palatial houses that were destroyed at that time. So it doesn't seem like any mercy is in view here. In fact, the phrase here in verse 14, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off, conveys the idea of no mercy. You see, there was a tradition of guilty people grabbing the horns of the altar and pleading for mercy. You see what God is saying here? The horns of the altar will be cut off. No mercy. So where is the mercy here? Well, I think we see a glimpse of God's mercy in the illustration of the shepherd saving a remnant from the mouth of the lion that has destroyed the sheep. Only the legs and a piece of an ear left. Not much of a remnant, but at least it's something. Now, that's certainly not the main point here. Israel's coming destruction is, but it's a logically implied point. God's judgment is not without mercy. And that certainly has come true. A remnant of the northern kingdom of Israel has been preserved. All 12 tribes of Israel are represented in the Jewish people today. God's judgment is not without mercy. Practical application. Have you heeded God's clear warning? Have you heeded God's clear warning? The kingdom of Israel did not heed God's warning, even though it was as loud as a lion roaring. Verse 8 again, a lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Have you heeded God's warning? God has spoken. You say, what warning? Well, what about the warning of John 3:36, which says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Let me ask you this morning, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? If you have, then you have eternal life. But if you haven't, then you do not have eternal life. And according to Scripture, the wrath of God abides on you. That's quite a warning, isn't it? Like the roar of a lion. And it's very clear. Don't think you can sit here this morning and say, well, I think there might be a different interpretation of this verse. There's no different way to interpret this verse. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, are you going to heed this clear warning? Or will you be like Israel, who didn't believe the clear warning that God sent through his prophet Amos? God means what he says. Have you heeded God's clear warning?